It's great to be here with you today. We want to wrap up what we've been talking about with Titus. We were in the book of Titus, and then we jumped to 2 Corinthians because it talks about where Titus was the one going to the Corinthian church and engaging the Corinthian church to collect a gift that they were going to be giving, that they had promised that they were going to give to the Jerusalem saints, the believers in need there in Jerusalem. And so Paul, you know, Pastor Peter talked about Paul last week having written to them to sort of prep them for the giving of this gift and all that they needed to talk about. And so then here this week, we're finishing out that chapter 9 section that is talking about giving. Isn't that exciting? Everybody wants to talk about giving, right? But that's where we are today, and that's what we want to focus in on, is this whole idea of what does it mean? You know, how many of you ever heard the word tithe? How many of you heard it in a positive sentence? Good, a few of you. We want to look at that and think about, what is that tithe that we talk about sometimes in church, and what is giving look like? Not as a rule, but as something that God has called us to experience, the overflowing grace that He has for us. And so that's what we want to focus on today, is what does it look like to experience the overflowing grace of God in our lives? That's what giving is. One of those ways that we do that, that we experience the overflowing grace of God in our lives. And so we want to dig into that today. We'll start with just reading this first verse in this section, chapter 9, verse 6. It says, the point is this. Sort of sounds like a wrap-up, doesn't it? He's been talking about the gift. He's been talking to them about preparing for the gift. And so now he says to them, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. There's our sermon today. The core of it, the heart of it. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. You think of that principle, and you think about God's grace being poured into us. And so we'll see if I stay inside the pans or not. But this is us, right? Okay? And we can experience the grace of God pouring into our lives, and lo and behold, we're full. He's got all this grace. And we are standing here saying, I got your grace, and I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm going to hold on to your grace, and I appreciate you giving me your grace and protecting and providing for me. We just had Thanksgiving, and hopefully we were thankful for all that God has given us and how He has provided for us. But understand this, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. It doesn't talk about what He's giving to us for us. It's a whole different perspective. You see, I don't know how big this is going to get, so we'll see. You see, what He's calling us to is experience the overflowing grace of God. And as we then pour it out to others, you see, it just keeps filling up with God's grace. And as we keep sowing generously, God's grace continues to fill into us. So we have a choice. We can sow sparingly and say, thank you, God, for what you've given me, and I'm going to hold on to that. And it's good. You've protected me. Or we can sow generously and experience the overflowing grace of God through us to others. That's what He's talking about in the rest of this passage. He says, that's the point. Now hear it and understand it. Because it's one thing for us to say, yeah, I can get that. I got it. If I don't sow generously, I'm not going to get all the blessings, all the grace that you have for me. But I'm okay with just this little bit, God, and so I'm just going to hold on to this. And you can look throughout scriptures and hear the stories about how God talks to those that hold on to what he's given and miss the blessing of God. And I don't want that for us. I don't want it for me. I want us to experience the overflowing grace of God. Luke 6, 38 says this, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I don't know if you've ever made anything with flour and everything, you know, and you can take flour and put it in, try this at home without your mom around. Take flour and pour it into like a can or a bowl or something like that that's confined, and you think, okay, it's full, right? Now start banging that thing down on the counter. That's where you might want not want your mom around, you know. Start banging that thing down on the counter and start pressing it in and see how much more space you get in that can to fill up again. And that's what it's saying. It's like God is just filling you, pressing it down, shaking it together to fill all the little holes so that he will just push his grace down upon you. But understand this, if all we do is just fill up the first time, and that's the measure we're going to say, okay, it's full, here. That's the measure used to give to you. How are we experiencing the overflowing grace of God in our hearts, in our lives? That's what God's desire is for us, to know him in that way, to experience him fully, so that others might as well. You think about this whole idea about giving, and so I want to take just a couple minutes and go back to the Old Testament and talk about a few things there, if I get to the right place. The tithe. You know, we're understanding that we're talking about giving and understanding what Scripture says. What should we be giving out of our own funds and the things that we have? And it says a tithe is defined as 1/10 part of something, you know, of the whole. So 1/10, a contribution that they used to make in the Old Testament times. You can see this all displayed in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, where it talks about the law. It talks about the tithe as part of that. And we always think about that. When you hear about the tithe in the Old Testament, you think, oh, they gave 1/10 of everything they had, you know, each year for the tithe. Wrong. They gave that for the first tithe. They said, oh, wait a minute. There's a second one, or how many of these are there going to be? And you look at Scripture, and it talks about the first tithe that is given to the Levites, the priests, for the caring of the temple, for the people that do that, the priests that are caring for the people. And so it talks about the first tithe, that agricultural produce, if you will, being brought in and put in the storehouses, so that they would have to take care of one another as the priests. But then you also see these other offerings that are given, the second tithe that is given that can be used to take care of others. And then there's a third tithe that's every 3 years or so that is given to take care of the poor. Oh, and then there are the old offerings of the freewill offerings that are given because of people's blessings in their lives. So you see, throughout the Scriptures of the Old Testament, you see this whole idea of tithe is almost like taxes. But it is this giving from what God has blessed them to say, it is part of how God's design is to give into the people of the church and of the community, to care for the priests, to care for the poor and the needy, to care for those who are in need at some point in their lives, and it's called upon by the people to start with this tenth of this first tithe, and then out of their bounty, out of their heart, to continue to give to God's design, God's mission. And so all throughout Scripture, it talks about these offerings of God or to God from our belongings. But where do our belongings come from? It says that every good gift comes from our Father above. It is from Him. And He has made us stewards of all that He's given. The question is what we will do with it. Whether we will say, hey, this is great. You've provided, and some people's cups are going to be bigger than other people's cups, and I don't have a clue as to why. God's grace comes on us unequally, but He cares for each one of us. His grace is sufficient. All sufficiency, it says, is given to us for what we need in our lives. We were born here. We could have just as easily been born in a culture, in a third world area, in a place of poverty, and had much less. The question is, what we will do with what we have? And so, throughout Scripture and in this passage here today, there's this idea that it talks about giving back to God's mission of what He has given to us as stewards to be used, and that's what we're going to look at. Why does He give it to us? What is it used for? Why does it even matter? So, the heart of giving. Paul's focus is not on the things, but on us, on the people. Because he says that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. You see, it's not about a rule. It's not about a tenth. It's about what God is doing in us and through us. So what is He doing in our heart? Each one of us must decide what to give to God as He has decided in His heart. What is God pressing upon us to do in our lives, to follow through and to worship Him with our heart, with our lives, with what He has given to us, that we might recognize Him. So this whole idea of giving is not just an idea of what is our duty, but where is our heart? Are we in tune with God? Are we walking with God? Are we worshiping God with our very lives? Are we grateful and walking with Him to see that, Lord, I want to be part of Your mission, and I want to accomplish Your gospel presentation to the world, and so I want to join the ministry. And so giving becomes part of that. Ephesians 1:8 says, the riches of God's grace that He has lavished on us. 1 John 3:1 says, what a great love the Father has lavished down on us to be called children of God. James 1:17 and 18 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all He created, that we might be His representation, His praise, His glory to those around us. So, the heart of giving is our heart in tune with God. That's what He's calling us to do. That's the foundation of this thing. It's not a duty. It's not a rule. It is, do we have the heart of God? Are we choosing? Are we hoping? Are we wanting to walk in step with Him and to be close in with Him? And so that it's our heart in tune with God that drives us to give. And as we decide what God is doing in us and putting on our hearts, that we give from that to fulfill His mission. Now, you think of that He has called us to give from our hearts, but then why does He give to us? You see, why do we have all this stuff? Is it for us or is it for others? This whole sense of what is He doing in me? With this whole pouring out of His grace, is it just so I can experience this? So, hey, you know, God's grace upon us, you know, what do we gain from that? Is it the vacation? Is it the vacation home? Is it the house that we live in? Or is it actually the people that we can touch with what he's given to us. You see, why he has given us all the blessings in our lives, one is to meet our needs. But more importantly, even than that, it says that the overflowing grace of God comes to us so that we might give it to others. There's one word that's used three times in here, this abound to you, and it's used three different times. First, it says this, as we look at this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. So his grace, and that abound to you is that sense of overflowing. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming from God. And it says, it abounds to you. He is willing and wanting to just pour his grace on you in an overflowing, unbelievable way. But listen to the next part of it. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, so that he has provided for our needs at some level so that we are taken care of. And he says that in that state, you may abound in every good work. You see, the reason that we abound is so that we may abound in the good works that God has put in front of us. That means the reason he's given to us is so that you can give to others. That's the purpose. So that out of the blessing that you've experienced and you have been poured into you, that you would be sharing that and pressing that out to others. And if we don't do that, we miss the overflowing grace of God. It's not that we don't get any of his grace, but we miss that overflowing sense of God is just tremendous. We miss the blessing of serving others. We miss seeing them grow. We miss meeting their needs. There's this sense that he has designed us to be part of his mission to give grace to others. His grace through us to others so that we might abound in every good work, meeting the needs of others. It says, as it is written in Psalm 112, it says this, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. See, he flips it there, and all of a sudden you're no longer talking about just the physical needs of somebody. It says, so that their needs might be met, but the righteousness that is extended through our giving and our heart, it's a righteousness that comes from God that people experience because of him through us. His righteousness endures forever. It's an eternal impact we have the opportunity to put on people's lives. When we look at what we have, not as our own, but as God's, to be shared, to be served, to be held out for others to know him, to see his glory. That's what he's calling us to. So that our lives would abound in every good work, his grace is poured on us. You think of that in our lives, and you think of what comes into us and how we hold on and say, well, I'm not sure we'll have any more if I give this away. This is the God who spread the Red Sea, right? This is the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, we can look at our lives and say, but I haven't experienced that bounty. And we will experience different amounts, different ways, different things of grace in our lives. But the question is, with what we've been given, what will we do? It's a simple call in our lives. A simple challenge that's out there by God to say, will you test me? Will you experience? Will you understand the grace that I want to give to you so that you would give it to others and experience me more fully? That's his design for our lives. we can either pick that up or we can limit what God is going to be able to do in us. And so when we talk about giving, that's what he means when he says what you've decided in your heart to give. What part of his mission and his cause do we want to join? How much do we want to be in tune with him, to walk with him, to experience his grace overflowing in us to others that it might overflow into their lives, bless them and lead them to Christ and draw them to Christ, overflowing from us, meeting the needs, and then bringing thanksgiving back to God. You see, the third time it talks about abounding in this passage, it first said that his grace would abound to you so that it may abound through you in good works to others. And then finally, it talks about abounding and overflowing back to God's glory. You see, it says there that he who supplies the seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. There's that pattern right there that it talks about, that we have been enriched in every way so that we might enrich others, that it might come back to be thanksgiving and praise to who? Not to me. Oh, thank you for that gift. Oh, no problem. Anytime. You know, happy to be of help. It's not about me. It's not about you. That third and final piece of that triangle is it brings praise and glory back to God. Our lives expressing the grace of God overflowing from us to others, and because of that, they see not us, but they see God. And it brings glory and thanksgiving to his name. You see, others will give glory, it says, in seeing your life because of, it talks about three things. When they give glory to God, it talks about three things. Because of the confession of the gospel that you share. So do we actually let people know about God in our giving? Do we actually want that message to be part of what we are doing? That somehow, some way that God has given us, whenever he provides that, whenever we look for it and see the Holy Spirit working, that we are there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation. Our confession of the gospel brings glory to God. Our submission to him. When they see that, when people see us giving and passing on the overflowing grace of God, they see a submission to God's design, a submission to his design for our lives, his commands in our lives, and his lordship in us. And so they, because of the submission they see in us, they give glory to God. And finally, because of the generosity of our gifts, all they can do is say, wow, what are you doing? And we turn that right back around to say, it's God's grace overflowing because of his love. That's what we can be part of. That's what he's called us to. I think of this. In Mark 12, there's the story where Jesus is in the temple courts teaching. And he gets done teaching and he just hammered the religious leaders, the teachers. And he finishes that. And the next passage, it says he sits down on the side of the court. And he's sitting there. And he's watching as people come through and give at the temple courts. Now, I imagine his disciples saying, what is going on? What's he doing? You know, he was just teaching. He was just, you know, going at this. And all of a sudden, he's quiet and he just sits down. And so they're standing over there waiting for him. Like, okay, we'll just wait. I think they probably got pretty good at waiting. And all of a sudden, he's watching these rich people walk through and dropping in their money and seeing all this stuff. And all of a sudden he leans over and says, "Now, watch. Look at this. Watch this." And this little old lady walks in. And they're saying, "What? What am I looking at?" And he says, "Look." And they don't see it. I can imagine that they're just saying, "What is he talking about?" And this little old lady walks up. And on top of all those big coins and everything that's going on, you hear this clink, clink. And she drops in two little copper coins, pennies. And he gets excited, I think, and looks at them and says, "Look, look at that. Isn't that awesome?" And they're saying, "Uh-huh. She gave two pennies." And he said, "She gave more than any of those other people because they gave out of their bounty and they just gave their extra. She came in and it says she took these two coins, all that she had to live on for that day, and she wanted God to have it for his ministry, for what he was doing in the world. Because he was her God, she was going to give it to God." And he says to them, "Look and learn. She's got the heart I'm talking about. She gave more. Not because she gave foolishly." I'm not talking about being stupid here, right? And saying, "Okay, we're going home and we're selling our house and we're going to live in the car." I'm not talking about that. Unless God actually calls you to do that real clearly after counsel. But can you imagine this little poor widow walking in saying, "Lord, I love you so much. And I just feel called to give." And she is forever in the scriptures as an example and as a glory to the name and the praise of our Heavenly Father because she was willing to give from her heart. That's the adventure that he calls us to. That's what he's talking about when he says you have to decide in your heart what to give. It's not about a tenth of all that you have. It's not about, you know, a certain amount. That's why we don't have pledges. That's why we don't talk about all this stuff all the time. We want to have people giving according to what God is doing in their hearts and how he's called them to be part of his life-changing, everlasting gospel message ministry to the world. How do we do that together? What has he called us to do, to be together as the church, to say, "Lord, we want to bring glory to your name by extending and overflowing grace to those around us." And knowing that you will take care of us, that you will provide. So when we talk about giving, when we look at what God is doing, we want to focus on his word, his call that says, will you take the overflowing grace of God and experience that in your life in a way that I've called you to, that you will extend that out to others to bring glory back to my name. We are part of what God is doing in the world as we give. And so, when we pass that offering plate, when you think about where you're giving your funds, either here or to missionaries or to those people in need, it's not about a certain amount. But it is about us coming together in unity and being the body of Christ, being the church. It says there in the end where it talks about all this, it says, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission to those that comes from your confession of the gospel, the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. So now listen to what it says. While they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. May that be you and me together as the church, where we're giving and the church is able to minister and reach into the world, that as we do that, people would look and say, I want to be part of that. I want to be with them in the fellowship that they experience. And they want to know that. And I want to pray for them and with them. May we be unified as the church in the mission of God, called by Him to be His people. He finishes this whole thing, and we want to wrap up this morning. He finishes with this outburst of praise. He's talking about the church. He's talking about God's design. He's talking about reaching the world and the mission that we have. And then he says this, thanks be to God for His indescribable, His inexpressible, His unspeakable gift, which is His Son. It's not about the money that He gives to provide for our job, through our job. It's not about all that stuff. His inexpressible gift is His Son. What more could any of us ask for? And he just has this outburst of praise, because when he thinks about the church doing and being what it's supposed to be, he can't help but thank God for His Son, who came and gave Himself for us. What more could we want? What more evidence do we need that God cares and His desire is to extend His grace upon us? The question remains at the end of the day, will we join that outburst of praise and walk in our lives with praise and thanksgiving, overflowing to Him? Lord, as Paul talks to these Corinthians about giving His good gift to the Jerusalem saints, He's called them to this great adventure of joining in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of Jesus Christ. And so for us today, Lord, help us to walk into that adventure, to be willing to see that as we give, You will fill. As we join the church in the ministry of the gospel, You will fill us to our needs, to our blessing, and overflow, even in our struggles. Even as this widow was poor, she gave so much. Give us that heart for Your glory. Amen.